We are going to learn Daf Pei Zayin in Masechtas Nedarim. However, before we start the Gemara on Daf Pei Zayin, we're going to back up to the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Beis. I know we did the Mishnah last time, but we're going to do it again because obviously the Mishnah is relevant to the sugya that we're about to start now. So we're going to start from the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Beis. We'll read it quickly. The Mishnah says, Nadra Ishtoi, Vesavisha Nadra Bitoi. So we'll explain in the Gemara exactly what the case is. But just the simple reading in the Mishnah is that a person's wife actually made the neder, but the husband, who is mefer, thought he was being made for his daughter's neder. Or nadra bito, the opposite, his daughter was the one who made the neder, but he thought that it was his wife that made the neder. So the bottom line is, he had the wrong person in mind when he was made for the neder. So as I said, we'll see in the Gemara exactly what the case is. Or, Nadra ben Nozer, Vesavisha Nadra ben Karban, she made a neder about whether or not she's going to be a Nazir. She says she'll be a Nazir. And he thought that the neder was simply about a Karban. So we explained last time, I'll explain again, that this time, the case is that she made a neder not to drink wine. So when she said not to drink wine, she meant because it's part of a Nazir, she won't drink wine. But he thought that she was simply making a neder that she wouldn't drink wine. That's the Nadr B'Karbin, that she made wine Asr. Or the opposite, Nadr B'Karbin, that she said that she was going to make something Asr B'Karbin, Masavish Nadr B'Nazir. And he thought that it was a whole Naziris. But again, so he had the whole misconception of what the type of neder it was that she was trying to make. And then the last case of the Mishnah is simply a mistake in what the neder is. She made the neder about figs, and he thought it was about grapes. Or the other way around, she made the neder about grapes, and he thought it was about something else. In all of those cases, he can go back and be mefer, meaning when eventually he does find out the truth of what it was, either who it was or what it was that made the neder, what the neder was about, then that's finally the situation where he's really, really talking about the neder, and then he's able to be mefer. So now, very important to know, as we'll see later, it's not necessary that he knows the details of the neder per se, but if he has a misconception, misinformation, that changes everything. So over here, in each of these cases, he is being matter the wrong thing. So if you're being matter the wrong thing, or mefer the wrong thing, that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that it does not work. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So the last line of the Gemara on the bottom of Beis. So now, starting the Gemara. Lememra de yoni oisa dafkahu. Okay, so by the fact that we're saying, in the first case of the Mishnah, that when he thought he was making an eder about either, let's say, he thought it was his daughter and it turned out to be his wife. So when he did the hafara on the wrong person, we're saying that it does not work. That's the point of the Mishnah, that it doesn't work, and that's why he's able to redo it later. So that means when the Pasuk says, the Yani I saw, that the Torah gives you the ability to be made for, and it says to be made for her, or to be made for her neder, so we see that the Torah was dafka, that you have to be made for her, it has to relate specifically to her when you make the neder. That's the diyuk that the Gemara wants to make. But the problem is now on the top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, v'hagabe kroyim t'chsev al, by when it comes to doing kriya, this is talking about in a context where somebody, a relative dies, or somebody that you would have to do kriya for. If somebody dies and you have to do kriya, and the person does the kriya for the wrong person, it doesn't work, as the Gemara darshans this, the Gemara brings this memor over here. By gra, it says al, and it says by each one of them, there's a separate kriya. D'chsev, as the pasuk says, al sha'ul v'al yohinesun benoi. So this happens to be talking about a very interesting case. This is talking about where Shaul HaMelech went into battle. This was after David HaMelech was already appointed as king, but even though he was appointed as king, he wasn't yet accepted as king. So Shaul HaMelech was still the king. So Shaul HaMelech led Klal Yisrael into a battle, and in that battle, Shaul HaMelech was killed and Yonasan was killed as well. So when they came, this is talking about when they came to report to David HaMelech that they were killed in battle. So the pasuk specifically enumerates that David HaMelech gave a eulogy for Shaul, and he also gave a eulogy for Yonasan separately. So each one of them he gave separately. So why did he do them separately and not put them together? Latanya, and we learned it in the Braisa, Amru loy meis aviv. So one second, the drasha that the Gemara wants to see is, so we see that it should be l'chayra, it should be dafka. It should be specifically, by the fact that he separated them out, even though the pasuk happens not to be talking about kriya, the pasuk happens to be talking about the eulogy that he gave for them, but we see that each one of them got their separate eulogy. The Tanya, and we learned it right, so Amru loy meis aviv, the kara, if a person was told that his father was died, and then he ended up ripping kriya because he thought that, and then it turned out to be somebody, his son, meaning not his father, yotzu yidei kriya. Oh, so we see over there that you are able to, that a person is able to be yotzu the kriya, even though it was done incorrectly. Again, that's why you need the psukim for it. Even though the psukim originally, when it taught us the din of kriya, we see that it usually is. We are particular that it should go on the specific person. And even so, the halacha is that if he did it incorrectly, it counts anyway. So how come in the pasuk, when it says al, that when it's meant to be specific, we say it's not important that he know what he's doing. But when it comes to nedarim, how come over there, when it says yana yaiso, over there also, it is specific that you have to know what you're doing. So it doesn't matter who you're referring to or not. So the Gemara says, again, there really is no connection necessarily. I didn't find a connection between kriya and nedarim. I didn't find it, other than the fact that they both are specific, they're supposed to be designated for the specific person that you have in mind. Again, the two halachas, I didn't find a connection between the two halachas, other than, again, the idea that it's supposed to be for the specific person that you have in mind. In any event, we have a contradiction. By Nadarim, apparently it is important that you know who it is, and by Kriya, it seems like you don't need to know necessarily who it's for. So the Gemara answers, Loi Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Ho b'stam, ho b'mefarish. It depends on what was the information that you were given. So let's start with Mefarish. Mefarish is the easy one. If you were told specifically who it was for, so let's say in our case of our Mishnah that you were told specifically your daughter made the neder. And then it turned out that it really wasn't the daughter that made the neder. So when you were mefer on specific information. So then, for sure, it doesn't work because that was completely and utterly false. It was incorrect. So your hafara was on the wrong thing. So that's clearly not a good nether. And the same thing would be true, by the way, by Kriya also. If you were told misinformation, you were told it was a specific person, and then it turned out to be somebody else entirely, so then the Kriya wouldn't work for that other person as well. However, Stam the cases, so it happens to be a Machlekes Rishonim exactly what Stam means. Stam means either the person giving you the information was not specific, but gave you an implication that it was one person, a specific person, or stam means that they really didn't give you any information whatsoever, and you came to your own conclusions without knowing what you're talking about. In other words, what did they say to you? They said, meis b'beisecha. They said, somebody in your house died. Now, the person who hears this assumes that who died? Most likely the oldest person in the house died. So he comes to his own conclusion. Or, you know what I'm saying? So the point is that when that's where it wasn't really. Now the question is, what did you have in mind? This is where the Machlokes Rishonim is. And therefore, since you were based on very generic, very not specific information, the question is, what did you have in mind, or what did the person doing the Kriya have in mind? Did they also say, okay, somebody died, this is for that somebody? Which in that case, it would for sure work, because the Kriya is for whoever it is. Then it's going to be okay. Or the nether also. They said, somebody made a nether. They said, okay, whoever made the nether, that's okay. I don't want the nether. So in that case, it's going to work because it wasn't directed at anybody. So there could be, it's open-ended. So whoever it turns out to be, that's who it's going to be. So it's going to be fine. Versus the other way says that you actually made an assumption who it was, and you had in mind, according to the Ran's pshat, it's even a bigger chiddush. The Ran is learning that even though you had in mind a specific person, but nobody ever told you it was that specific person. You figured that's who it was supposed to be for, but nobody ever said it was for that person specifically. That also will work. Because nobody, versus again, just to put things into context, versus if they told you it was this person, it was your son, and then it turned out it was your father, then there was the misinformation was completely directed in the wrong direction. That for sure is not going to work. And then so in the Gemara's Teretz, it's important to understand this. The Gemara Teretz is, this concept is true both in the context of Kriya, and in the context of Nedarim. They both have that same halacha, that if it's directed in the wrong direction, that doesn't work. If it's directed open-ended, then it will work. It will work at the end. And then the Gemara says, Vahatanya, we learned in a Braisa. Now, even though usually when we read Gemara, Vahatanya is typically meant as a question, over here it is meant as a raya. Vahatanya, and I'll bring you a Braisa that proves that is exactly this, the way it's supposed to go. Amruloi Mesaviv, if they told him specifically his father died, Vikara. And so he does Kriya. Vahakak Nemsa Benai, and then it turns out that it was really his son, La Yotsi Yidei Kriya. Because he was doing the kriya for a specific person, and that person didn't die, so that kriya is meaningless. However, the Braisa continues and says, "Amruloi mace loy mace." If they just tell him generically, somebody died. Ukasavar aviv who, and he just assumes that it must have been his father, because who else would it have been? The kara, so he does kriya, but he doesn't do the kriya again for whoever they told him, but he doesn't know who it was that he told him, even though he thought it was his father. And then it turns out that it was his son. Yasi de kriya. So that will be a good kriya, because again, it wasn't directed. Even though there was a slight assumption or implication that it was a specific person, but it wasn't directed only and exclusively for that person, because he doesn't know that for a fact that it was that person. So Mamelo, it's going to be a good kriya. And again, I just want to say, to extrapolate to our Mishnah, the same thing is true by Nedarim. If in Nedarim I made for my wife's neder, and then it turns out that it was his daughter, that's for sure not a good hafara, because he directed it very specifically in one direction and it was the wrong direction. But if he says, I made for whoever, and it turned out that he had one thing in mind, that it was really something else, that's okay, we can transfer the neder, we can transfer the hafara to the correct person. Okay, that's the first teretz of the Gemara. Now, Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi gives a completely different teretz. Kan besoich kedei dibur, kan la'acha kedei dibur. It depends on whether it's Tosh Kedei Dibur or not. Before we explain what those words mean, I just want to point out something really interesting. It's Machlokes Rishonim, although most Rishonim learn, and Lahalocha, well, it depends on whether you hold the Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch, but Lahalocha, Rav Ashi is not arguing on the Teretz that we said before. Very often when we have two different Terutzim of the Gemara, the two Terutzim could argue or seem to argue on one another. Here, Rav Ashi, most Mefarshim learn, Inami. Interestingly, what? Inami. It's not an Inami. Rav Ashi is saying, even if what you just said is true, even if it was generic, or rather, what Rav Ashi is really saying is like this, even if the neder, let's say, was directed at a specific person, if you correct it, b'toich kedei dibur, that correction works. Even if it was, let's say he says, oh, I'm being made for my wife's neder. Oh, my daughter. So in other words, even though he said originally specifically for one person, which was the wrong person, but he corrects it, toich kedei dibur, that correction, toich kedei dibur, is going to work. As we're going to see, as we read the Gemara here, that toich kedei dibur is a correction that works in general, in all cases, except for the ones specifically excluded that the Gemara is going to tell us. But it basically, it's a correction and telling you, That's what I really meant all along. So Rav Ashi is saying, okay, I'm not getting involved the generic versus the specific, but I want to point out to you that even if you were specific, even if you literally said the wrong thing, if I fix it, toich kedei dibur, that fix is still a good fix and it could work. And that would be the difference between Kriya and Nedarim. The two halachas are not a contradiction, because one's talking about a case where you fixed it, toich kedei dibur, and one's talking about a case it was after toich kedei dibur, so that's why it wasn't a good correction or not. Okay, so now, what is the concept of toich kedei dibur? We're all familiar with this. Toich kedei dibur is the idea that you have, I don't know what the exact time on the clock is, but it's a couple of seconds, a second and a half, 2.5 seconds, or whatever it is. But if a person corrects himself in the amount of time that would be, that a person would normally say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomairi, that amount of time that it would say those words, so that if you correct it, make your correction within that amount of time, so then that's considered really what you meant in the first place. It was just a slip of the tongue and you fixed it, so it was never really meant to do the first thing, it was really meant the second thing. That's the Toich Kedei Dibur. Now, interestingly enough, when it comes to Toich Kedei Dibur, also another interesting concept that comes up, I know we haven't read the Gemara yet, but an interesting halachic issue that comes up in this from this Gemara is the concept of Toich Kedei Dibur specifically in a context of talking, that I could, a slip of the tongue, that I could correct what I say, or does it come up in Toich Kedei Dibur of an action as well? I do one thing, and then I quickly fix it, whatever the action is. For example, because remember, we're talking about Kriya over here. So Kriya over here is an action. It's not a Dibur. You didn't say anything when you do the Kriya, or it has nothing really to do necessarily specifically with what you say. It's the action. So we see, and a lot of Rishonim learn, that the Toich Kedei Dibur concept works even on an action, and it is not limited to a Dibur. Although there are those that say it is always limited to a Dibur, and even the action over here of Kriya was he did the Kriya and he said that it was for his father. So therefore, it's the Dibur that he has to fix. It's not the action that he has to fix. He's not redoing the Kriya. He's redoing what he said it was designated for. So that is also considered a Kriya. Although, again, as I said, a lot of Rishonim learn that the concept of Toich Kedei Dibur applies to an action as well. That as long as you fix the action or apply the action in the correct direction, Toich Kedei Dibur, that's also considered a good correction, and it still works. Okay, so now let's read the Gemara. Now that we understand where Rav Ashi is coming from and what Rav Ashi is trying to accomplish, let's read the Gemara. The Gemara will be very simple. Rav Ashi Omar, Kan B'Toich Kedei Dibur, Kan Lacha Kedei Dibur. It's very simple. It depends on how quickly you made the correction. You fixed your mistake. If you fixed it right away, so then it's fixed, and then it's as if it's all good. But if you fixed it after time, now it's too late. What you did is done, and now you're going to have to start over again. So the Gemara itself explains, Hodekamer, Yotzide Kriya. When do we say that it works? That even though you had the wrong information, Shenimsa Benoi B'Soich Kedei Dibur, that you found out that it was the wrong person. In other words, he rips and he says, oh, I feel bad for my father. And then he says, no. So, oh, my son. Right? So right away you correct the mistake. So then, even though when you did the Kriya, when the guy did the Kriya, he did the Kriya for one thing in mind, and he quickly fixed it, that's still going to work. Okay, no problem. Hodu Amris lo yotzide kriya. When we say it doesn't work, is lacha kedei dibur, is after kedei dibur. Meaning, okay, so he did the kriya, and then a day later he finds out that it was really somebody else. So that kriya that he did was for the wrong person. It's not going to work anymore because you can't fix it. Whatever is done is done. Okay, and again, the same thing is true by the neder as well. When he says, I'm being made for my daughter's neder, and they said, he said, oh, my wife's neder. Okay, so if you fix it right away, so then it's going to work if it's Toich Kedei Dibur. Now, this Vahatanya, as we just mentioned just a moment ago, Vahatanya over here also, the simple reading, the way the Ran learns, is that this Vahatanya also is, we're going to bring a Braisa as a Raya. However, there are those that learn that this Braisa is meant as a Kasha, and then the Gemara explains it. Because this Braisa is a little bit different than the first case was a straightforward point. It said exactly what we were trying to say. Here, as we'll see, let's read these words of the Braisa. It's a little bit different. Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa, Mishiyesh lechoyu b'soich beisoi. Somebody, there's a sick person in his house. Vinis Aleph, and the person faints. That's generally how we translate Vinis Aleph, and the person faints. Ukaduma shemes. So, of course, the people weren't familiar with fainting, so they interpreted it as if the guy died. The kara. So the people sitting around said, "Oi, he died." So they did kriya. The acha kachmes. But then it turns out the guy wasn't really dead. I'm alive, right? So then, then he says, "I'm alive," and then he drops dead, and then he dies afterwards. So now, but the point is, when you did the kriya, at the time you did the kriya, he was really still alive. So then, lo yotzi yidei kriya. So this is what the Braisa says. Now what's interesting about this, so that's why Rav Shimon ben Pazi, we're gonna explain, we really haven't made the point that we're trying to make yet, which is why there are those Rishonim that learn that this Vatanya is meant as a Kasha, because here we see very clearly that you're not Yotze. When you got it wrong, you're not Yotze. And Rav Shimon ben Pazi is, so to speak, going to answer the Braisa. And there are those that learn that this Rav Shimon ben Pazi is all part of it, and therefore since it's the explanation of the Braisa, we always meant this to be the proof all along. Okay, just a nuance in how to read the Gemara. In any event, the main point is what Rav Shimon ben Pazi says. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi Mishum Bar Kafra. Rav Shimon ben Pazi is quoting Rav Yishuv ben Levi that says this is the name of Bar Kafra. says like this: Lo yishanu ela shemes la'achar kedei dibur. Remember, that's the sugya that we're trying to prove, whether it's toich kedei dibur or achar kedei dibur. Says that which we said that it does not work is only because you're making the correction or finding out the correct information after kedei dibur, after it's said and done, it's settled. So now you try to redo it, you're going to go back and try to backsis no traxis. That's not going to work. Avo, however, the toich kedei dibur kedibur dami. But if you made the fix, if it was toich kedei dibur, then it would work. So again, in our case where the guy says I'm alive and then drops dead, literally that. As he says these words, so then the kriya is going to work because it's close enough. And again, in this case, it's not a matter of misconception because there's nobody else involved here. It's literally, was it in time for the kriya or not? So you see that, and you see that basically, what is an obvious halacha from this is that you can't do kriya before the guy dies. The kriya has to happen after. The chiddush over here is that if the dying happens after, but it's toich kedei dibur, that does still work. So that's the concept of toich kedei dibur. Now the Gemara tells us a general rule, the hilchasa, and the general halacha is toich kedei dibur kedibur dami. Yes, we hold that any time you make the correction within this, you know, this short window of correction time, this couple of seconds that it takes you to correct, that's fine. There are four exceptions to the rule, which are really basically two that are the same. Chutz mi megadef, somebody who curses. This is cursing specifically the Rebbeinu Shalom, Chas v'Shalom. Uses the Shem Hashem. If he does Avodas Kechavim, the way the Ran learns, means that the person says Ze Keli, or Ze Eli. The guy says, I accept this other god, this other whatever, the deity, I guess that's the word, he accepts another deity as his god. So once he says that, it doesn't matter if he says just kidding, that doesn't work anymore. There is no toich kedei dibur concept over there. Once you say it, you say it. And similarly, umekadesh or megarish, and the same thing is true when it comes to marriage and divorce, that once a person hands over the kedushin and says harei mekadesh li, and she accepts, there's no backs, there's no, even if you're like, just kidding, doesn't matter. And the same thing with divorce also. Once these things are done, they're done. So the Ran and other Mefarshim also learn that, so what's the difference? Why are these cases so special? What's unique? Abay Dazara, maybe you can understand, but the bottom line is that the reason why these cases are, so to speak, the exception to the rule is because, so the way the Ran learns is because he's Goymer Das. He makes up his mind that this is what he means. So under normal circumstances, it really goes with this explanation. The explanation goes with, if you take something seriously, then you make sure you say it correctly. It's when you take something lightly or not seriously, so then you're not really paying attention and you're not careful how you say it. So then you can end up making a mistake because you're not focused. Yeah, you're paying attention to six other things. You're watching the soccer game in the background, so you're not paying attention to what you're saying, so you end up saying the wrong thing. But you can only do that when it's something that you're not taking seriously. I mean, when you're standing under the chuppah, you should be focused on what you're doing. And you should be saying Hareyat Mekudesh Azli to the girl that's standing in front of you. You should not be joking around and dealing with somebody else. So over there, because of the severity and the seriousness of what you're dealing with, so those are the kind of things that you don't make mistakes. It's just not one of those things where you're likely to make a mistake and mistake is acceptable. And the same thing you can understand by Avodah Zarah also. It's not something that you joke about. You don't joke about going against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's not something that you would joke about. And therefore, these are the exception to the rule. Again, because of the situation, because of what they represent. That it's not something that you joke about. Mamelo, everything else, where you could be making a mistake, because yeah, I mean, you might take it seriously, you might think it's important, but Lamaisa, it's not something that has to, you know, you can always get out of it, so therefore toich kedei dibur is going to work. Anyway, the bottom line is, we have two terusim in the Gemara, how to understand this contradiction, when it works, when it doesn't work. The first terus of the Gemara is that it depends on whether you had specifically wrong information versus just general information. General information you can fix later. the specific wrong information you can't fix later because you did it for a specific purpose. And then Rav Ashi's teretz, which we're learning is an additional teretz, not an alternative teretz, but an additional teretz. Rav Ashi's teretz is that even when you said what you said, but if you fix it right away, you could fix it. So it depends on how quickly you fixed your mistake. But if you didn't fix it right away, what you said is incorrect, then it doesn't work, and you can deal with it later. Okay. Fine. So that's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah where you had the wrong neder in mind. Now we're up to the next Mishnah towards the bottom of Peizayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Amra koinim te'enim ve'anovim elu." She makes her neder that she's going to make it usher for her to eat figs and grapes. And she says it together, she'ani toyemes, because she puts them all together by saying that this is what I am going to eat. And again, in the Lashon of the Mishnah, when she says I am going to eat, that means what she's not going to eat, what she's making aser. So kayim l'te'enim kulad kayim. Even if when the husband says yeah, that's okay, but even if he only refers to the grapes or one of the two, and he says I'm okay with the grapes, with the nether about the grapes, so he only mentioned the grapes, he doesn't mention both the grapes and the dates or the grapes and the figs, the whole thing works automatically. One little part of it makes the whole nether bichal. However, that's because he said a kiyum hefer leteinim. But let's say he said I don't want the nether that you mentioned the figs, ene mufer achiyefer af la'anovim. The hafara doesn't work until you mention also the grapes. Now, the Ran over here has two pshatim, and he's going to carry these two pshatim throughout the entire Gemara, so you have to mention them. And that is, when the Mishnah over here says that it doesn't work, does it mean that it doesn't work at all? Because he did not mention both aspects, both elements, both parts of the nether, it doesn't work at all. Therefore, the entire hafara is useless. The entire hafara is nothing. That's the second pshat in the Ran. The first pshat in the Ran is, no, simply that it doesn't, since you didn't mention the second part, the hafara doesn't work on the second part, but it does work on the part that you said. I specifically said, I don't want you to make a neder on figs. So fine. So the neder on the figs part doesn't work. So even though it was one neder, he only mentioned, I don't want it to work on the figs, so the fig part of it fell apart. But the grapes are still a good neder. That's the first way the Ran learns pshat in this Gemara. Now it's gonna this two pshatim is gonna make a difference in how the girsa that the Gemara has later in the Gemara. Okay, but either way, again, the simple pshat, at least I think the simple reading is, although it's obviously different people see it differently. The simple is that if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But there's another way to learn the Mishnah, that what he's saying is it doesn't work for anything I didn't mention. But what I said specifically is going to work. Okay, all this was talking about because she put it together as one neder. The Mishnah continues and says, "Amr koinim te'ino sha'ani toyemis." She says, "I'm not eating figs." Ve'anova sha'ani toyemis, and then she repeats herself and says, "And grapes that I'm not going to eat." So hare elu shnei nedarim. Then it's considered two separate nedarim. Which what the Mishnah is trying to say is, and therefore I could be mekayim them separately, and I could be mefer them separately because they're considered two different nedarim. Even though she, by the way, said it as one sentence, but because she said sha'ani toyemis by each one of them, she gave each one of them, she made each one of them, created each one of them as its own neder. Okay, as we'll see later at the end of the Gemara. Okay, now. That's the case. So the difference between the Reisha case and the Sefer case is whether it was one nether. She put it together as one nether, and therefore, if you're Mekayim, even a part of it, the whole nether is Mekuyim. Versus the second case, where they're considered two nedarms, even if I'm Mekayim part of it, that has nothing to do with the other. Now the Ran does point out when it comes to Hafara, you could be Mefer, multiple nedarm as one, if you want to. I could say all those five nedarim that you said, I want to be made for them all together. I could. That's not a problem. The only thing, the point that this Mishnah is trying to make is, if you want to keep it separate, you could keep them separate. The hafara doesn't have to go from one to the other. Okay. Zok to Gemara now. Manimas Nisin, who is the author of this Mishnah? Rabbi Yishmol. It is Shitas Rabbi Yishmol. The Tanya we learned in the Baisa. Isha Yikimenev, Isha Yifirenu. Okay, so there's a drasha that we put in the pasuk actually puts these two words together, that it says the husband has the right to be mekayim and the husband has the right to be mefer. Amra, so here's the case. Amra koinim te'enim va'anovim elu sha'ani toyemis. That's our first case of our Mishnah where she says I'm not eating figs and grapes. Kayim l'te'enim kula kayim. So this, by the way, is consistent exactly with what our Mishnah says, that if she said, once he was mekayim, even any part of it, he's mekayim just the figs part of it, that is a kiyum in the entire neder. Now on the top of Pesayinim Abeis, Gemara says, hefer l'te'enim, but let's say he only is made for part of it, ene mufer acheyefer afla anavim. So the same two pshatim that we said in the Mishnah, that since he was made for only on one of them, so again we could either say it's nothing until he does the entire thing, or again you could say that it means that he was made for only what he was made for, but the tainim, he didn't mention the tainim, are not part of the hafara. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, so very clearly this is Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, which is the point that the Gemara is trying to make, that this is not, even though the Mishnah writes it as a Stam Mishnah, it is not a Stam Mishnah, it's really Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Kiva very clearly argues on this Shita. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Harehu Omer, Isha Yikemenu, the Isha Yiferenu. We darshin that the halacha of kiyum and hafara are the same. In what sense? In the same way, ma'yikimenu mimenu. We darshan from the word yikimenu. So we darshan the word menu mimenu. The word mimenu means any part of it. So once I already allude to any part of the neder, and I want to be mekayim that part, that's already enough. I just have to tap in to one part of the neder, and the entire neder becomes mukuyim. So we say the isha yiferenu. So just like by the kiyum, I just have to do part of it. Af yiferenu mimenu. So Rabbi Akiva says very clearly that the hafara and the kiyum have to work the same way, and the same way the kiyum, it's enough for just a little bit. So to the hafara also, it's enough if I just mention a little bit, and that will work, by the way, according to Rabbi Akiva, to wipe out the entire nether, even though I only mentioned part of it, which is not like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah made it implied that it either didn't work at all, or it only worked for the part that you worked. So it's clearly different. So we have a machlekes over here. Rabbi Yishmol. So Rabbi Yishmol is going to counter, and he says, "Miksiv yefer mimenu." Does it say anywhere in the pasuk? Is there any drash over here that the hafara works even on part of it to work for the whole thing? It never says anything like that. There's no mimenu over here that you should be able to rely on to a little bit should work for the whole thing. So there, that's why Rabbi Yishmol argues. However, Rabbi Akiva makish hafara lahakama. He says no, there's a hekesh, and as the Ran actually on Daf Pei Vav Amudeis on the previous Mishnah, the Ran says that even when we talk about making a hekesh between hakama and hafara, it's not a real hekesh. It's just a smichus. It's just because the pasuk actually puts them together, but it's not really a hekesh in the terms of hilchus hekesh. Because if it was really hilchus hekesh, then the halachas would have to be literally the same, and they're not the same. And there are differences. For example, as you may recall, you could be mekayim belev, you can't be mekayim hafara belev. You can't do a hafara belev. So there are definitely differences that everybody agrees to, so it's not a real hekesh. So even though we're using the word hekesh, which has a legal technical meaning, it doesn't, the Rabbi Akiva doesn't mean that legal technical meaning of the word hekesh. But still, the point is, he does say that the pasuk puts them together, so there is a comparison between them. So he says, Rabbi Akiva, makash hafara lakam, makam mimenu, afafara. Mimenu. So even though you're right, I mask him, it doesn't say the word mimenu in the context of hafara, but it doesn't need to, because hafara and hakama are the same, they go together, and since it applies in the case of hakama, it applies in the case of mefer. Okay, so far we have a very clear machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah holds like, very clearly, Rabbi Shmuel, it's exactly a quote from Rabbi Shmuel, and for whatever reason, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi just brought Shitas Rabbi Shmuel without quoting his name, just brought it because I guess he held that that's how Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wanted a paskin. He held that Rabbi Shmuel's pshat is the pshat that everybody should accept. In any event, but we do know now that there's a machlekes Rabbi Akiva that says that even the hafara, even a little bit, works for the whole thing. And again, in Rabbi Shmuel, this is important for the next line of the Gemara, in Rabbi Shmuel, when we say the hafara doesn't work, so there's two ways to understand that. Either the hafara doesn't work at all, or the hafara doesn't work for any part that I didn't mention. And only if I mentioned that I don't want the figs. Clearly, I said I don't want the figs. But
that's Rabbi Akiva's shita, though.
No, Rabbi Akiva's shita is that once I say hafara, even on a little bit, it works for the whole thing. Rabbi Akiva is the opposite. Rabbi Akiva says that the hafara does work for the whole thing. Even mentioning just one part of it will work on everything.
Second
Peshan of Rabbi Shmuel is that it works for what I said, but it doesn't work for what I didn't say. That I can actually, even though I said it, even though she said it as one nether, I can come along and be mefer. One second, we're going to see the Chachamim in one second. No, it's not. But it could be made for the part that I was that I specified that I want to be made for. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Chiya says, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says Zudir Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Akiva. Till now we've been discussing specifically the shitas of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Abba Chachamim Ma'imrim, but the Chachamim are a completely different pshat. They're makish hakamah afar. In some sense, they're similar to Rabbi Akiva in the sense that they do say that hakamah and afar have to work the same way, but they darshan exactly the opposite. So first, we're going to read the girsa that we have in the Gemara. The Ran does bring this girsa, but he has another girsa as well. The girsa that we have in our Gemara is mahafara mashahefer, just like by hafara, what he did works only on what he said. Afakama mashakayim kayim. So too the hakama, what you'd said, the kiyam, will only work for that, for what you specified. So, in other words, instead of starting from the hakama and saying if it works for the hakama, it should work for the hafara, he's starting the other way around. He's saying just like the hafara, it doesn't work for what I didn't mention. So too the hakama also doesn't work on what I didn't mention. We never had that shita before. Our Mishnah very clearly says that the hakama, even on part of it, works for the whole thing. And now we have the chachamim shita, again, according to this girsa over here, that says also hakama is on what I said, and what I didn't say, I didn't say. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. If I never said I want to keep, if I only said I'm good with the ta'anim, you can't put words in my mouth that I said that I'm good with the anovim. I never said that. I said I'm good with the ta'anim. And just like hafara, I could be made for that part of it. So too for the hakama, I'm only being mekayim that part of it. So that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Now, if you look at the Ran, in the skinny lines, in the skinny lines, right, like across from the end of the Gemara, right at the end where the lines go from skinny to the a little bit wider, the Ran has a different girsa. So it says like about four lines before the end. It says like this: Lefichach nira girsas ktsas from ikur degarsi hachi. There are those that have a different girsa on a Gemara, and now I'm going to read the girsa that those Rishonim have. They learn like this: Avachachamim Maimrim. It's a whole different girsa. Avachachamim Maimrim mahafara mashahefer loyhofar. We don't have that in our Gemara. It says, but by the hafara, it doesn't work at all. Afakama masha kayim loikim. Even the part that I was mekayim doesn't work at all. V'chein girsas Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Nachman b'Hilchosov, and that's how the Ramban paskins. So we see that he's saying just the opposite. This is like the second pshat in the Ran. This is what the Ramban is learning. This is how the Ramban is learning. This is the girsa that the Ramban has, and the Ran is bringing it as an alternative girsa. And he's saying that just like by the hafara, if I don't say the whole thing, it doesn't count. So too by the kiyum, if I don't say the whole thing, it doesn't count at all. Again, that's very different pshat. It's a whole different pshat. We never had a pshat like this at all. That was never an option by kiyum. It's the extreme opposite of what we said. Till now in our Mishnah, we said that the kiyum works, that there was no machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel at all about the kiyum. Everybody held that. Even a mention of the kiyum, of anything, worked for the whole thing. And now we're coming along and we're saying that according to the Chachamim is just the opposite. Just like by the Afara, it's not good enough to do partial, and it doesn't work at all. It's nothing. The hafara doesn't work. So too by the kiyum, if I only mention part of it, it's also nothing. You have to know what the nether is. If the nether has two parts to it, then when you're either being mekayim or made for that nether, you have to address both parts of it. And if you don't address both parts of it, you're not addressing the nether. That's the way the chachamim are darshaning. So it's interesting. It's a little bit closer to Rabbi Akiva in the sense that we are comparing hakama to hafara. That we're comparing the two and saying that they have the same, that they operate the same way. But till now, in the beginning, according to Rabbi Akiva, it started with the hakama, which makes sense, by the way, because we're darshaning the kiyum, yikayim menu, and we're darshaning kayim mimenu. We're darshaning from the kiyum, and we're saying just like by the kiyum a little bit works, so too the hafara a little bit works. Here, the chachamim are starting the opposite way, and they're saying, we're saying that they're the same, however, we're starting from the hafara part of it. And just like by the hafara, it doesn't work, so too, if they're the same, so then the kiyum also doesn't work. So we'll come out with a completely opposite conclusion. And that seems to be how the Ramban and the Rambam apparently seems to paskin like the Chachamim, not like our Mishnah. Which would mean that unless I say the whole thing, unless I address the entire nether, I haven't addressed the nether at all. That's what comes out.
It's very precise then.
Just a drop left on the Gemara before the next Mishnah. The Gemara now quotes Amra Koinim Te'ena. So this is actually meant to quote the second half of the Mishnah. The second half of the Mishnah was if she breaks it up and she says Te'ena Ani Tayemes and then Anovim Shani Tayemes, she breaks it up into two Nidarim. There the Mishnah very clearly states that it is considered halachically as if it's two Nidarim and you can address each one of them separately. So on that point, the Gemara says Amar Rava Masnisin Reb Shimonhi. This Mishnah follows Shitas Rav Shimon de Omar, who holds that you can break it up. You can break it up also. It says Ad she'omer shvua l'kol echad ve'echad. You have to make a shvua to each one of them. Okay, so what's the context of what Rav Shimon is talking about? Rav Shimon is talking about a place where somebody stole, let's say, $5. He stole $5, and now all of a sudden, five different people are claiming that you stole from me. You stole from me. So obviously that's not fair, because he didn't steal $25, he only stole $5. In any event, so he swears to each one of them. He says, I didn't swear from you, I didn't take from you, I didn't take from you. Now one of them may be a lie, but the question is that considered an act? There's two ways he could say it. He could say, I swear to you, I swear to you, I swear to you. He could break it up into separate shvuas, or he could say, I swear that I didn't take from any of you. Or he can clump them together. Or he could say, I swear I didn't take it, and you, and you, and you. And it just adds the word and. And you, and you, and you. So Reb Shimon Shita is saying, and you, does not make it into a different shvua. Meaning, when it turns out that it's a lie, that he was lying, that he did really steal it from either that guy or multiple, whatever, you're going to get Malkus on each one. But according to Reb Shimon, since he said he made one shvua and he just added and you, and you, and you, and you, that's considered one shvua until he makes a separate shvua and he says, I swear I didn't take from you, and I swear to you, and I swear to you. He has to break it up into separate shvuas. That's what the Gemara means when it says, Ad she'yom shvua l'chol echad ve'echad. That he had to have made a shvua to each one separately for it to be considered its own individual shvua. Otherwise, it's all clumped together and it becomes one big fat shvua. So the same thing our Gemara wants to say, Rav is saying that that's our shita in our Mishnah as well. Where she makes a neder, so what makes something defined as one neder versus multiple neders? So even though she mentioned multiple parts, if she only says the word neder one time, now it doesn't necessarily, the word neder necessarily, that's not the make it or break it, but if she breaks it out separately, so in the case over here where she, in our second case of the Mishnah where she says, te'eno sha'ani toyemes, and anova sha'ani toyemes, that each time she breaks it out into its own sentence, even if she only said the word neder one time, she breaks it out into a separate sentence, then that's Rav Shimon Shita, that then it's considered a separate neder. However, even though in the first case where she mentioned them together, but she only said ani tayemes once, and she only said neder once, even though she listed multiple things, it's still considered one neder, just like Rav Shimon holds that would be considered one shvua. Obviously the Chachamim, not obviously, but there is a Shittas Chachamim over there in the Gemara that is in Shvua Sapikadon, Perek Shvua Sapikadon, that says that also would be considered, even if I have multiple parts, it also is considered multiple shvuas. Okay, so it's a machlekes. The Gemara over here seems to say that we're passing like Rav Shimon, that it's until you separate it out literally, it's not considered two separate nedarim. Okay, once again, we're stuck with a Mishnah towards the bottom of the Omid, so we'll just read the Mishnah again to finish the Omid. However, the Sugya really is going to continue very much onto Daf Peches. So we'll read the Gemara, we'll read the Mishnah, even the first line of the Gemara, but really the Sugya is going to be for next time. But let's see what the Mishnah says. This is a Mishnah hopefully you're familiar with, because we did clearly quote this Mishnah before, not that long ago, on Daf Ayin Tes, which is not that, it's only eight blot ago, so it's not that long ago. The Mishnah says like this, Yoideya anish yesh nidar. I know that there is a concept of nidarim. Abul eni yodei sheyesh mafirin, but I didn't know that there is a concept of hafara. He's just not familiar with the fact that either a father or as a husband, that he has this right to be mefer. So the halacha is yefer, he could be mefer later. Now what the Mishnah means to say is, just to fill in the blanks here, what the Mishnah is saying is, even though he heard the neder, let's say on Monday, And on Monday, he has no idea what the halachas are, so he doesn't say anything. Now, usually, if Monday comes and goes and he doesn't say anything, that, by definition, is a kiyum, because he missed his opportunity. However, let's say he finds out on Friday, by the way, he goes to the Beis Medrash, and on Friday they tell him, oh, you know that you could be mefer. He says, really? I could be mefer? So that becomes, once again, just to be clear, that becomes Yom Shamay. Because this is the day that he heard it in the context of the fact that he's able to be made for it. So even though he literally heard it 5 days ago, it doesn't make a difference. Now is the first time he knows that he has an option to be made for or be Mekayim. So now becomes the Yom Shamay. Okay, so that's the first case. The second case is a little bit more complicated. Yoideya ani sheyesh mafir. Let's say he knows that there is a concept of being made for. I don't know that this is a neder. Now, the way the Ran learns is, not that he didn't realize that this was a neder, but rather, the way the Ran learns is, he doesn't realize that this is the type of neder that could be mefer. So let's say, for example, he learned Masechtas Nedarim, and he learned that there's a difference of a Inui Nefesh, and there's a neder of Beinoi LeBeino, and some of them work, and some of them don't, and he's all famished and confused about the fact that there are all these different types of cases, and he gets confused. So he says, oh, I didn't realize that this is the type of neder that I could be made for. Okay, the Ran is not learning that he has no idea that there's a concept of neder. Because if you have an idea that there's a concept of hafara, it's impossible to say. What are you being made for if there's no such thing as a neder? So obviously you knew there was a neder. But rather, you didn't know that this was the type of neder that falls into the category, or a category, in which you are able to be made for. And that's what he didn't know. So he misunderstood what the type of neder was. So, in that case, Rav Meir Omer lo yefer. Rav Meir says you can't be made for. The Chachamah Omer yefer, and the Chachamah say you could be made for. Now here the Ran goes into a very interesting explanation. What does that mean that you can't be made? The Chachamah say you could, well, this Machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamah can be explained in two different ways. According to the Rav Meir, says lo yefer, so when can you not be made for? So the first way the Ran learns is that you cannot be made for at all, meaning you can't be made for on the day that you heard it. Again, remember, you are familiar with the concept of hafara, but you didn't know that this was a neder that is hafara-able. You didn't know that this is the type of neder that hafara applies to. So Rav Meir holds, you can't be made, when he says you can't be made for, you can't be made for today, because I didn't know what I was talking about. And I also can't be made for later when I do find out that I could be made for. Because I missed my opportunity. I can't be made for today because I don't know what I'm talking about. So again, to be made for, you have to know that you're being made for. And it can't do it later because I missed my opportunity, so I can't be made for at all. And the Chachamim Oimrim Yefer that you could be made for, but the Chachamim say, according to the first pshat in the Ran is, again, as I told you, two pshatim here. The first pshat in the Ran is that they could be made for, the Chachamim hold on that day. That's your day to be made for. Which is, I think, a very big chiddush pshat, but again, that's, you know, the Ran is consistent in how he learns Masechtas Nedarim. But he's learning that you could be mefer, but only on that day. Because today's the day that you're, okay, so I didn't know that I could be mefer. I couldn't, but just be mefer. Just be mefer. Later, it's too late. This is not, you know, this is not one of those open-ended nedarim where you could just wait 6 months to be mefer later. No. You have to, if you know that it's a neder and you know you have a faro, you don't know whether this is the right one or not, be mefer. And if you don't, you missed your opportunity. That is the first way the Ran learns the pshat. And of course, these two ways are going to make a difference in how the Ran is going to learn the Gemara itself. But in any event, the second pshat in the Ran is a little bit different in the sense that when Rav Meir says you cannot be mefer, he means that you can't be mefer later. You can't be mefer when you find out that this is that you should have been mefer, you can't be mefer. Because today is your day. Even Reb Meir, now Reb Meir sounds more like the Chachamim in the first pshat. Even Reb Meir, when he says you can't be mefer, of course I could be mefer today if I want to. I heard the neder, and I know there's a concept of hafara. I don't know whether it really works or not. Okay, fine, I could be mefer. That's fine, I could. So it's a little bit off. It's not really perfect because I don't know exactly what I'm doing. But fine, but if I'm mefer, I'm mefer. That's, so when the words in our Mishnah says lo yefer, he means, like compared to in the Reisha, just like in the Reisha case, I could be mefer later when I find out. So too, Rav Meir saying, lo yefer, I can't make the hafar when I find out. But I could, of course, if I went ahead and I was mefer now without knowing what I was doing, it works. Okay, remember, just in contrast, according to the first pshat in the Ran, according to Rav Meir, I cannot be mefer even today. Because I don't know what I'm doing, I cannot be mefer. I don't know what I'm doing, so I can't be mefer. According to the second pshat on the Ran, the Meir is saying, what, when he says I can't be mefer, he means when I understand what I'm doing, I can't be mefer. But of course, if I did it now, I did it. If I did, I did what I did. I could be mefer when I'm mefer. So that now, and the Chachamim, according to the second pshat, so since Rav Meir is only saying I can't be mefer later, the Chachamim are saying no, I could be mefer later. So what the Chachamim would be arguing is that when I find out what I'm talking about, so then I could be mefer later according to the Chachamim, it comes out that it actually arguing on the extremes. The Chachamim would then say, I can't be mefer today because I don't know what I'm talking about. And when I do know what I'm talking about, then I could be mefer. And Rav Meir is saying just the opposite. Rav Meir is saying, when I find out later, it's too late. I missed my opportunity. I should have been mefer today. So according to the second pshat in the Ran, it comes out that Rav Meir is saying, I only could be mefer the first day, but I can't the second. And the Chachamim is saying, I could only be mefer the second, and I can't be mefer today. It comes out that, according to the second pshat, that the Ran and Rav Meir are arguing on extreme opposites in when you could be mefer or couldn't be mefer. That's the second pshat, I think, which is a little bit more complicated. The first pshat is easier, at least, to understand than the words of the Mishnah itself. According to the first pshat, I can't be mefer at all, either way. And the Chacham will say I could be mefer today because I have enough information to be mefer. But it comes out, according to the first pshat, also there's a chiddush. It comes out, according to the first pshat, that also the Chachamim agree that I can't be mefer later. Can't be made for later. So in the Chachamim also, the difference between the first pshat and the second pshat, when even the words of the Chachamim that say I could be made for, according to the first pshat, I could be made for on the first day I hear it. According to the second pshat, when it says it could be made for, it means I could be made for when I figure it out. So even in the Chachamim, you have very extreme explanations in what the words of the Chachamim are. Okay, so again, we'll essentially stop here. The Gemara is going to ask a contradiction that we'll see that there are other scenarios where I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, or I don't understand the situation, whether I could deal with the situation or not. So we'll leave that. We'll leave these last three lines for next time when we learn the sugya itself. Okay? And we'll stop over here.